The name of this sermon is The Chosen Tribe. Genesis 10:5. By these were the isles of the Gentiles divided in their lands, everyone after his tongue, after their families and their nations. Gentiles and nations is the same word. It's Strong's 1471, which is Goy. There are several Protestant denominations that state that the King James Version of the Bible is practically infallible with no or hardly any mistakes. They also indicate that this is the only Bible version that shall be used. While we certainly do not oppose the use of the King James Version and believe that it's an average translation of Scripture, we do not believe that's the only inspired version of Scripture. It's important to note that all English translations have errors and mistakes, and eventually have words that become archaic after over 400 years or less of it originally being published. One mistake found in the King James Version that has been corrected in all the other translations is the use of the word Easter in Acts 12:4. This word comes from the Greek pascha. The earliest recorded observance of Easter was in the 2nd century. So if the observance of Easter wasn't until the 2nd century, how could this word be the proper translation in Acts 12:4, which was over 150 years before the holiday was ever celebrated? Acts 12:4, and when Herod the king had apprehended Peter, Herod put Peter in prison and delivered Peter to the 4 quatrains of soldiers to keep Peter, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Virtually all theologians and biblical scholars agree the Pascha refers to the Passover holy days. According to Strong's Concordance, this word refers to the Passover. Thayer's Greek lexicon agrees, the paschal sacrifice. Jameson, Fawcett, and Brown commentary concurs. It should be after the Passover, that is, after the conclusion of the festival. Passover, not Easter, has the days of unleavened bread in its celebration. Herod delivered Peter to the soldiers after he killed James, the brother of John, and he saw that it pleased the Orientals? Nope. The Egyptians? Nope. The Negroes? Nope. The Israelites? Nope. The Turks? Nope. The Jews? Yes, it pleased the Jews, Acts 12:3a. And because Herod saw it pleased the Jews. Even the New King James Version of the Bible has changed the mistranslation of Easter to the correct translation of Passover. In addition to the above example, the fact that the King James Version went through multiple revisions so that there were mistakes in the original 1611 translation. In addition, there are several words in the different translations of the Bible that are given to one single word in the original. For example, the word goy or goy is translated in Strong's Concordance, 1471, with four different words. It is translated, the King James Version, as nation or nations 375 times, heathen 143 times, Gentile or Gentiles 30 times, and people 11 times. Beside the two places where the word goy is translated in 10:5, which uses two of the four different words listed above, there are at least four major difficulties with this verse. If the commonly accepted 21st century definition that everyone in the whole world is either a Jew or a Gentile, meaning non-Jew, is correct, then using the word Gentile is a mistake. The topic of this verse was the descendants of Japheth, Genesis 10:2, Verse 3 and 4 list the descendants of two of Japheth's sons, Gomer in verse 3 and Javan in verse 4. And then verse 5 says, by these, the descendants of the two of the sons of Japheth, were the isles of the Gentiles divided in their lands, everyone after his tongue, after their families, in their nations. First, what period is Genesis 10 referring to? It was approximately the year 2250 BC, which was 250 years before the birth of Abram, and a little more than 400 years before the birth of his grandsons, the twins, Esau and Jacob Israel. And so for those Christians who define Gentile as being a non-Jew, and define a Jew as being either descendants of Esau or Jacob, either way, there are no Jews. And if there are no Jews, how could there be any non-Jews? There were descendants of Cain and the Canaanites, but there were no Jews until much later in time. From Boyd's Biblical Dictionary, Isle of the Gentiles is said to identify only Asia Minor and Europe. Second, these five verses of chapter 10 refer to the offspring of two of the seven sons of Japheth. In verse 2, the seven sons of Japheth are listed. In verse 3, the sons of Gomer. And in verse 4, the sons of Javan. Genesis 10:3, and the sons of Gomer, Ashkenaz, and Rehath, and Togbah. The descendants of this one son, out of the three of Gomer, Ashkenaz, was converted to Judaism in 1 year, 740 A.D., in modern-day Ukraine. According to the Universal Jewish Encyclopedia, quote, about 92% of all Jews, are approximately 14.5 million, are Ashkenazim. So how could most of the Jews in today's world be both Jews and non-Jews, Gentiles? Third, what do these Bible translators do with most of the people of the Old Testament, like Adam, Cain, Seth, Methuselah, Noah, Shem, Ham, Japheth, Terah, Abraham, and Abraham's eight sons, Lot, Hagar, etc.? Do they refer to these people and others like them as being either Jews, Gentiles, Israelites, or Christian? The translation would be incorrect if they used any of these four names, for there weren't any Jews, any Israelites, or any Christians at this time, and there were never any Gentiles. The Jews didn't come into existence until after the Edomites were invited to immigrate into Palestine, and they quickly took control of the nation. They soon wrote the Babylonian Talmud, and the Jews eventually began copying the real Israelites in their Torah and temple worship. The Gentiles were never in existence in the Bible, and Israelites began when Jacob's name was changed to Israel. Fourth, in Genesis 10:5, the words Gentile and nations were translated from the identical Hebrew word goy. And notice that one is capitalized, Gentiles, and the other, nations, is not. This is another of many inconsistencies in the King James Version of the Bible. The translators should have translated the word goy with the same English word. So it could have been translated in one of four following ways. Genesis 10:5. By these were the isles of the Gentiles, or nations, or peoples, or tribes, divided in their lands, everyone after their tongue, after their families, in their Gentiles, or nations, or peoples, or tribes. It would make more sense, in my opinion, if both words used were tribes, for Gentiles makes no sense, nation makes a little bit of sense, peoples make more sense, but tribes make the best sense. What is the meaning of Isaiah 9:1? Nevertheless, the deadness shall not be such as it was in her vexation. When at the first he lightly afflicted the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterward did more grievously afflict her by the way of the sea beyond Jordan, in Galilee of the nations, that's the King James Version, or Gentiles, that's the Darby Version, or foreigners, that's the Good News Version. In 35 different versions of the translation of this Bible verse, 22 Bible versions translated the word goy in this verse as nations, 11 translated it as Gentiles, and 2 as foreigners. Which translation do you think is correct? Is it nation or Gentiles or foreigners? This is one reason why the instruction given to us in the Bible is not just to read the scriptures, but study them. Whatever your conclusion is, it must fit in with the rest of the Bible. Now, Isaiah 9:1 was quoted in Matthew 4:15. Nevertheless, the deadness shall not be such as was in her vexation. When at first he lightly afflicted the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali by the way of the sea beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. Matthew then continues and quotes from Isaiah 9:2, the people which sat in darkness saw great light, and to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up. It is in these verses that we find the geographical key to the kingdom. A great light was to appear unto part of the kingdom people, but it was only the Israelites who were living in the land of Zebulun and Naphtali who would first see this great light. For this verse says that these were the people which sat in darkness saw great light. Where did Jesus live most of his life? It was in the land of Galilee that suffered from the Assyrian invasions, which were caused by Israel worshiping other gods and walking in darkness. The Assyrians took all of Israel, all the tribes that were left after the Assyrian invasions, except for the survivors of the house of Judah, which made it to their fortified city capital of Jerusalem. There the kingdom of Judah was saved for about 130 years by one of the greatest miracles of God. But eventually the house of Judah found themselves in darkness too. The nation had split into two kingdoms about 330 years previously. The largest kingdom was the northern, that is the house of Israel. All the tribes, except for the tribe of Judah, including a few of the priestly tribe of Levi, joined them. But most modern-day Christians are not aware that there was one tribe that was forbidden to join the house of Israel, even though they wanted to. This one tribe was instructed by God to leave the house of Israel and stay with the house of Judah. Who was this one tribe? It was the tribe which began with the younger son of Rachel and Jacob, and brother of their older son, Joseph. Immediately after Benjamin was born, his mother Rachel died. Benjamin's name was changed from Ben-Omi, meaning son of my sorrow, which is the name given by his dying mother, to Benjamin, meaning son of my right hand, by his father. Jacob wanted to give his son a more positive name, signifying hope and strength instead of grief. Did Benjamin ever provide hope? Over 900 years after Israel divided into two kingdoms, they both eventually wound up walking in darkness. Benjamin was the tribe that God had chosen to be the light and salt. 1 Kings 11:36. But unto David's son will I give one tribe, that David my servant may have a light always before me in Jerusalem, the city which I have chosen me to put my name there. Benjamin at one time had only 600 men. The entire population of the tribe of Benjamin was almost totally slaughtered by its fellow Israelites during the time of the judges. We think our civil war was bad. It was really rough in these days. Only 600 men of Benjamin remained alive. All the women, children, elderly, and everyone else of Benjamin were killed. You can see that in Judges 20 and 21. The tribe was in danger of becoming extinct, with no wives from their tribe to marry. And not only was this a problem, but there was also no women from their nation that they could marry. For Israel had made a vow to God that they would not give their daughters as wives to the remaining Benjamites to marry. What could they do to save this tribe of Israel? For the remaining 600 men from Benjamin couldn't marry Canaanite women as an option, as that would doom their offspring and the tribe would go out of existence. Who could they marry? The leaders investigated to see if any one of their tribes failed to send representatives to aid in their civil war against Benjamin. Israel had taken an oath to put to death any that didn't participate in the civil war. They found that nobody from Jabesh Gilead in Manasseh came to fight with them. Israel sent soldiers and killed every man, every married woman, every elderly, and every child in the city that neglected the fight. Unmarried young women were spared to give to the Benjamite men as wives. The Israelites granted peace to the men of Benjamin and gave them 400 wives from the tribe of Manasseh. But that left 200 men with no wives. The leaders of Israel hatched another scheme that would allow them to keep their oath not to provide wives for Benjamin, while still allowing Benjamin to acquire Israelite lives. Their plot involved twisting their vow, deciding that women taken are not women given. So they staged a kidnapping along with hasty negotiations. The 200 men of Benjamin were told to hide near an upcoming feast. A group of young women from Ephraim were expected to participate in the dances there. The Benjamites were instructed to grab one young woman dancer and then take them back to their territory to be their wives. When the fathers and brothers of these young women objected, the Israelites would assure them that these young men were needed to save the tribe of Benjamin, convincing them to agree to the marriages. What a way to get married. In this way, the men of Benjamin began to produce a new generation. They rebuilt their towns and continued as one of the 12 tribes of Israel. These were very strange days. All the descendants of Benjamin, after the slaughter and kidnapping, were either Benjamin Manasseh or Benjamin Ephraim. Or we could say the men were descended of the tribe of Benjamin and their wives were descendants from the two sons of Joseph. Joseph was Benjamin's older brother. So Benjamin came, in essence, the tribe of Benjamin, Joseph. When Israel set up their camp in the wilderness with three tribes of Israel, who was on the west side? And I've got a little chart here. This is the camp in Israel. Tabernacle in the middle. The Levites here. The west, the camp of Ephraim. There was Ephraim, Manasseh, and Benjamin. These are now in the tribe of Benjamin. And Judges concludes, in those days there was no king in Israel. Every man did that was right in his own eyes. Now a brief history of the house of Judah. Judah was the fourth son of Jacob and Leah. His older brothers, Reuben, Simeon, and Levi, were disqualified from receiving blessings from their father Jacob due to their unrighteous sins that they had committed. Reuben, because he had relations with his father's concubine, and Simeon and Levi, because they put Jacob in severe difficulties with the foreigners who lived near them because of their revenge for their sister. As a result of this, Judah rose in the position of rulership. David was of that tribe, while all the kings of Judah after him were of the family of David. Because of God's love for David, he would not let the house of Judah consist of itself, with a few from the tribe of Levi, but he would give to Judah another tribe. The tribe that wanted to join the other excessive tax objectors, a tribe that would be a light to provide the solution to darkness, was the tribe of Benjamin. After a little more than two centuries, most of Israel was taken captive by the Assyrians. Then after about another 135 more years, the house of Judah also followed in their same footsteps. They became captive of the nation of Babylon, and the promised land became vacant of God's people for about 70 years. The remnant of the house of Judah, after 70 years of captivity, went back to Jerusalem and rebuilt their capital city with its walls and its temple. But here's where the Bible becomes silent. What happened after this, when for about 400 years nothing is said in the Bible until the Messiah was born? One must find the answers in the history books that were written about this situation. The Encyclopedia America refers to Hyrcanus, the high priest of Israel, from 135 to 105 BC, who forced Idumeans, or Edomites, after being captured, to become like the Israelites. Hyrcanus desired that the Idumeans could do something that was impossible for them to do, that is, follow God's laws. In Josephus' book, The Antiquities of the Jews, it relates how the Idumeans were forced to accept Hebraism, which was an impossibility because only the wife of God, Israel, was given his many statutes, laws, and commandments, and the Idumeans were not the wife of God. In the Bible, Esau, Edomites, Mount Seir, and Idumea are all interchangeable for the offspring of Esau, Jacob's twin brother, who were intermarried into the descendants of Cain via the Canaanites, as well as the Ishmaelites. Between the time of Nehemiah and the birth of Christ, the problem of intermarriage increased between the two contrasting seed lines. See the book of Ezra and Nehemiah. The modern-day Israelites in America have acted a lot worse than what the ancient Israelites did at this time. For America is the melting pot of all the world's population and religions, not just the two seed lines and their contrasting religious beliefs and their different cultures. But America, which no longer knows its heritage, is living in a culture that rewards multiculturalism and miscegenation. And just like what happened to the Kingdom of Judah, the same thing is happening to the United States of America. The Jew has taken control over the nation. Practically all the churches have been integrated and ruined, as well as the schools, judicial courts, entertainment, restaurants, music, politics, sports, financial services, as well as the rest of the nation. The nation has become tolerant and inclusive rather than exclusive. At the time of Jesus' birth, the Edomite Jews ruled Judea. The racial foreigners who were brought in by the Assyrians took over Samaria, and the tribe of Benjamin controlled Galilee. Who would be the tribe that Jesus would go to and give them the light to free the other tribes from the darkness? Would it be the religious students of Levi or the rulers of Judah? No. It'd be the tribe who was given to Judah to be the light centuries before. Benjamin, or we could say Benjamin Joseph. The tribe that wanted to be with the house of Israel, but was forbidden to do so by Almighty God. Almost all of Israel was in a state of divorcement, so they couldn't be the candidate for this job. The house of Israel and many of the house of Judah were scattered to many places in the Mediterranean Sea area, Turkey, Greece, and Italy, and Europe, the British Isles, France, Spain, Portugal, Iceland, Greenland, Belgium, Holland, Russia, Luxembourg, Germany, Sweden, Norway, Denmark, Austria, Hungary, and so forth, and Northern Africa, Ethiopia. They had no hope that Benjamin was prophesied to provide hope first to itself, then to the house of Judah, then to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But before this happened, the Son of God was born. Where were his parents living when he was in the womb of his mother? They were living in Nazareth of Galilee. Where was Jesus born? He was born in Bethlehem in Judea, about 6 miles south of Jerusalem. Where did he live next? When Jesus was about 2 years old, he and his parents traveled to Egypt from Bethlehem when the Edomite, Herod the Great, attempted to kill him. Jesus remained in Egypt until Herod died a few years later. Jesus and his parents returned to Judea, but decided to not live there. Where did they live, and why didn't they live in Judea? Matthew chapter 2, verse 22 and 23. But when Jesus' stepfather Joseph heard that Archelaus did reign in Judea in the room of his father Herod, Joseph was afraid to go thither. Notwithstanding, being warned of God in a dream, Joseph turned aside into the parts of Galilee. And Joseph came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets. Jesus shall be called a Nazarene. Let's look again in Ezra 9:1. Nevertheless, the dimness shall not be such as was in her vexation, when at the first he lightly afflicted the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterward did more grievously afflict her by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, in Galilee of the nations. Let's stop and think. In what land and what people was Jesus speaking to in Matthew chapters 4 through chapter 7? From Matthew 4, 12 and 13, which is just two verses from the quote of Isaiah 9, 1 and 2, we learned that Jesus was in Capernaum, which is on the north coast of the Sea of Galilee. And I've got a little map. There's Capernaum. There's the Sea of Galilee. There's the Dead Sea down here. Jerusalem's down here. Judea, Galilee. In Matthew 5:1, We learn that when he saw the multitudes of people, he went up into a mountain. And then his disciples from Galilee came unto him. His 11 disciples were from the tribe of Benjamin, Joseph. Jesus was addressing his disciples, who were prophesied to be the light to Judah. Who was Jesus addressing when he said, ye, they, you, and your, what is now known as the Sermon on the Mount, in Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7. Ye are the salt of the earth. Who's the ye? Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Who are the they? Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely. Who is the you? Ye are the light of the world. Who's the ye? Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. But I say unto you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. And if ye forgive men their trespasses, after this manner therefore pray you. And then we have the Lord's Prayer. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Ask and it shall be given you. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. Judge not that ye be judged, etc., etc. Here we have a map of Palestine, the time of the New Testament. Judea's down here. Samaria's in the middle, and there's Galilee, Nazareth, Canaan, Capernaum, Sea of Galilee. Jesus lived here. He didn't live down here. That's about 100-mile difference. And this is Nazareth to Capernaum. Jesus left Nazareth, Canaan, kept on going, came to Capernaum. That is the mount that he went and preached the Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes. He walked on the waters of the Galilee Sea. All his ministry basically was up here. These verses were all part of the Sermon on the Mount. Our Redeemer Christ was talking to his disciples, to his men of Galilee, to his men of Benjamin Joseph. They were the only ones that were there. They were to be the light and salt to their tribe first, and then to the kingdom of Judah, and then to the rest of lost Israel. Didn't his disciples go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel and announce that they were back in the kingdom because of the death and resurrection of their Savior and Redeemer? The time of Israel's second Adam had finally come, for he was to live for over 3 decades and then die and rise from the dead so that he could end his divorce and remarry his wife, the entire kingdom of Israel. The disciples were not told that they were to go to the Edomites and tell them that Christ died for them, as well as the rest of the world. The Egyptians, the Chinese, the Japanese, the Koreans, the Zulus, the Congolese, the New Guinea savages, the Incas, the Gypsies, the Arabs, the Hindus, etc. They weren't his previous wife, nor are they going to be his future wife. He would have the same wife in both the Old and New Testaments or covenants, Israel. After over 700 years of divorcement, the house of Israel, who had no hope, was once again joined together with the house of Judah. The two sticks we're now one. The twain were now one new man. Israel was no longer two kingdoms. They were once again one kingdom. For seven centuries, most of Israel was in complete darkness. All of Israel was in a state of being doomed unless their sins were forgiven. Not one Adamite would ever be saved if there were no sinless substitute person who would die for all their sins in their place and then be raised from the dead. Who was to be the messenger to give this light to the rest of his brothers? Benjamin was the messenger given first to Judah of the good news of Jesus Christ, and then to the rest of his brothers scattered throughout the known world. Jesus was the sinless Redeemer who died and was resurrected on behalf of his people. Now I have a map. If you look here, Zebulun and Naphtali. That's what Isaiah 9:1 said. Now there's Nazareth in the tribe of Zebulun. Capernaum, Sea of Galilee. Zebulun and Naphtali. That's where Jesus' ministry took place. And I will show you on another map, Judea, Samaria in the middle, there's Galilee. This is where Jesus lived, not here. Where did Christ begin his ministry? Christ began his ministry in Galilee. For the book of Mark instructs its readers that after Christ spent 40 days in the wilderness, being tempted by Satan, he went to Galilee and he preached to them the gospel of the kingdom. Now turn back to the map. There's the Judean wilderness. He was baptized at the Jordan River, went here 40 days, then he went up to Galilee. Mark 1:14-15 says, "Now after that," that's 40 days in the wilderness, "John the Baptist was put in prison. Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, and saying, 'The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye, and believe the gospel of the kingdom of God.'" Are any Judeo-Christians in today's world told to do this? Almost all are told to repent, but hardly anyone, if any, are told to believe the gospel of the kingdom of God. Galilee is first mentioned in the Old Testament as a district of the Israelite tribes of Zebulun and Naphtali. Galilee figures in the oppression of the northern and southern kingdoms of Israel when invaded by the Assyrian hordes from 745 to 721 BC. To give you one verse, 2 Kings 15:29, "In the days that Pekah, king of Israel, came, the king of Assyria, and he took the following cities, and to eventually Galilee was one of them, and all the line of Naphtali, and carried them captive to Assyria." All 11 of Christ's disciples were Galileans, all from the tribe of Benjamin Joseph. The Apostle Paul was also a Benjamite from southern Turkey. The tribe of Benjamin were the people who first heard the cry to repent and believe the gospel of the kingdom. Most of the books of the New Testament are written by men who were from the tribe of Benjamin. Christ knew that the Judeans who lived in Judea consisted of two very different groups. One, the majority were Edomite Judeans who were called today Jews. And the minority were Israelites, Judah and Levi, Judeans, who are called today Christian Caucasians. Christ knew that the Judean Edomites would not hear or understand what he was preaching. They had such an inner hatred for him, for what he was teaching, that they were planning to assassinate him. John chapter 7, verse 1. After these things, Jesus walked in Galilee, for he would not walk in Judea because the Jews sought to kill him. The Edomite Judeans, Jews, were doomed to hell, and Christ made it his policy not to come into excessive contact with them until his final entry into Jerusalem before his crucifixion. The Edomite Judeans, Jews, had wrestled the kingdom away from the house of Judah by deception, bribery, fear, lying, and murder. They even tried to murder the former and future king of the kingdom many times, as well as his apostles and followers. The Abrahamic covenant identifies who are the recipients of the promises of this covenant. No matter how unfaithful they were, for God was faithful. The descendants became God's people, for he had to divorce them because they did not keep the statutes of his marriage with him and had other husbands. Who was to be the one who would let their unfaithful brothers know, who died for their sins and was resurrected so they could marry the resurrected one? Benjamin Joseph would be the light bearer or lamp of the good news of Christ. Romans 7:4, wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. The disciples came from the tribe that was to be the light bearers, and they were former fishermen, a political zealot, a tax collector, etc., but not priests and not great scholars. Most of them died by either crucifixion or were executed. Only a few died a natural death. The gospel of the kingdom was first preached by Jesus to the tribe of Benjamin in Galilee, for it was in that part of the Holy Land that there lived a small remnant of his former great nation of Israel. The great nation of Israel was reduced to this very small, insignificant remnant. It was the small mustard seed. Why did God provide this for Judah? Maybe it was because of what Judah had done on behalf of Benjamin many years previously. Judah had a strong protective role towards Benjamin, especially when the brothers were in Egypt and faced a potential threat of losing Benjamin due to Joseph's test. Judah offered himself as a surety for Benjamin to Jacob, their father. Judah offered himself as a substitute to ensure Benjamin's safe return, demonstrated his unwavering loyalty and commitment to his younger half-brother. Also, when Benjamin was falsely accused of stealing, Judah passionately pleaded with Joseph to take him as a slave instead of letting Benjamin suffer the consequences. Well, a quick review of Jesus' ministry. Much of Jesus' public ministry occurred in Galilee. He pronounced 19 of his 32 parables and performed 25 of his 33 miracles, including his first miracle when he turned water into wine at the wedding in Cana of Galilee. Biblical scenes such as the Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes, and the Transfiguration also occurred there. He healed the diseases and sicknesses among the people, and there were large crowds of people from Galilee that followed him. The Sea of Galilee was prominent in many of his lessons and miracles, like when he was walking on the water. Jesus began his ministry at the age of 30. Before that, little was known of him except he lived most of his life in Nazareth. When he began his ministry, he went to the Jordan River, was baptized by John the Baptist, and then was led by the Spirit into the Judean wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After this, he went back to Galilee and for the most part spent the first year there preaching and teaching in Galilee and going to Jerusalem to keep Passover. In his second and third year of Jesus' ministry, he was almost exclusively in Galilee. During these years, he was only going south in Judea for the Passover and other feasts. The last few months of Jesus' ministry were spent in Jerusalem when he made the triumphant entry into the capital city, taught in the temple, held the Passover, the Last Supper with his disciples, was tried, convicted, crucified, buried, and rose from the dead, and then where did he go? After Jesus' resurrection, in Matthew 28:10, Jesus instructs his messengers to tell his disciples to go into Galilee, and there they shall see him. And in verses 16 and 17, it records that the 11 disciples went to Galilee and saw him. And when Jesus ascended to heaven, he said in verse 11, "Ye men of Galilee." Acts 1:6, "And when the apostles who were from Galilee and were the sons of Benjamin therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? Christ plainly told them it was not for them to know, because it was impossible for them to visualize a process of events covering over 20 centuries in which Christian Israel was to be gradually schooled in their assigned task to enlarge the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God was set to be restored as it was when Israel was ruled by the King Jesus Christ. By what authority do today's preachers substitute Gentile peoples and nations or a Gentile church for God's chosen Israel nations and Israelite churches? By what authority is it that modern jewelry represents Israel and has taken the place of God's anointed nation? Matthew 21:43 says, "Therefore say I unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you," the Edomite Judeans or Jews, "and given to a nation, Benjamin being the first, and spreading it to the other tribes of Israel, that bringing forth the fruits thereof." And if you don't think this is the correct interpretation of verse 43, then what does it mean in verse 45, just two verses later? Matthew 21:45, "And when the chief priests and Pharisees," that's the Edomite Judeans, Jews, "had heard his parables, they perceived that he," Jesus Christ, "spoke of them," the Edomite Judean Jews. The kingdom of God was never promised to the Jews, and since most of today's Jews are racially a mongoloid people descended from Japheth and have never been a Semitic people unless they married a descendant of Cain, Canaan, or Edom, but regardless, they have no legal claim to Israel's heritage or her future because they are not Israelites. Christ came to the tribes of Israel by coming to a tribe that was prevented from being a part of the lost tribes of Israel. He came to the land of Galilee to these kingdom people. The tribe of Benjamin Joseph fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah 9:1-7. This was the remnant who was not divorced and who became the light for Judah and the rest of the formerly married tribes of Israel. Joseph, like in the days of old, provided salvation to his brothers. My conclusion. Once again, Christ, when speaking to his disciples, said, Matthew 6:33, "But seek ye," his disciples, "first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto," his disciples. His disciples sought the kingdom first. But most of Christianity hasn't. They seek an integrated kingdom. Some Christians are aware of the punishment and scattering of Israel, but few are aware of their regathering. Christianity has rejected the economic laws of God, Most don't even know what they are. No usury banks. All debts forgiven every 7 years. All land given back to the Israelite owners every 50 years. Instead, Christianity has embraced the debt usury capitalistic system without giving any thought that it might be wrong. They also have ignored the eating laws that God placed upon his people to ensure that they would be healthy and strong. So most of the Israelites eat pork, ham, ham salad, bacon, pork sausages, pork hot dogs, pork ribs, pork chops, pork spare ribs, pork roast, pork pepperoni, pork bologna, pork scrabble, Spam, head cheese, which features pig's head, tongue, and sometimes feet, seasoned with a blend of spices and herbs, shrimp, lobster, catfish, oyster, clams, crabs, rabbits, squirrels, shellfish, reptiles, amphibians, snake, moloch, shark, porpoises, dolphins, snails, swordfish, frog, tigers, lions, cats, dogs, turtles, scallops, and all birds of prey and scavengers, etc., and suffer all kinds of illnesses and disease. Thank you, tribe of Benjamin, Joseph. Christ gave his light of truth to the 11 Benjamites, plus Matthias and Saul Paul. From these men came the greatest missionary moment for teaching the national gospel of God's kingdom to all of Israel. The King James Version says the Apostle Paul preached to the Galatians, who they say were the men of Israel, children of the stock of Abraham, Gentiles, religious proselytes, those ordained to eternal life, believing Jews, brethren, heathen, and these shall all nations be blessed, children of God, Abraham's seed, heirs according to the promise, son of God, heir of God, children of promise, children of the free woman. Do you think all these New King James Version translations are correct? No wonder our people are confused. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel.